Thank you, Todd. Good morning. Hope you're as happy to be here as I am, or maybe at least almost as happy. You don't have to be as happy as I am, but I hope you're happy to be here or looking forward to it, or maybe you came here because you hope to be encouraged this morning or challenged. Hopefully you came to hear from the Word of God. And we're going to turn in the Word of God to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter of this letter that Paul wrote to an actual church in a city called Thessalonica, a city that's still there in Greece. Of course, it's changed quite a bit since the first century when the believers met together, the ones who received this letter initially and took this letter to heart. We trust, anyway, that they did, and we trust that we'll take it to heart. We're just going to read a portion of chapter 3 this morning as we use it for a springboard into our message, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to begin our reading together at verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly, and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but work with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who were such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." Back in the first century, as Paul spent some time in Thessalonica, he came across different issues, different problems. Some of those problems, as he traveled throughout Asia and Europe and spoke to some of those problems in person and others by letter, he came across problems that were theological in nature. And we find that addressed in his letters. But he also came across problems that were very practical in nature. And we find him addressing those as well. And here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he addresses one of those issues. And it involves work. It involves laboring. It involves our jobs and their jobs. Tomorrow is Labor Day here in the United States of America. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, Labor Day is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It's a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. We could say that it's a holiday about and for the American worker. Now, there are varying attitudes toward Labor Day. To most people, it's a day off work, a paid holiday, an opportunity at the symbolic end of summer to relax, maybe do some chores around the house, take a trip, enjoy a cookout, attend the Labor Day event at Mountaintop Youth Camp. I'll throw that in there for a little advertisement. A number of ways that people look at this holiday. And you know, it's kind of fitting that there are varying attitudes toward Labor Day because there are varying attitudes toward labor, toward the job. We find that there were some varying attitudes back in the first century, and we find that the same is true today. There are some people in this audience and in this city, in this nation, and around the world who love their jobs, and there are some who hate their jobs. There are some people who look forward to getting back to work, and some people dread waking up in the morning and knowing they have to go to their job that day. There are some people who thrive while they're on the job, and some people who struggle to get through the day in the very same setting. At the mention of work, some smile and some frown. Some experience a sense of fulfillment because of their employment. And some undergo a feeling of emptiness. And of course, there are those who are in between those ends of the spectrum as well. Today, we would like to look at another attack that we find against us as believers. Whoa! Here's an attack. Let's see if we can get this thing coming around. Here we go. All right. There we go. Thank the Lord that didn't fall over. That would have been bad. That would have been bad. We've been looking at some attacks that we had recorded on those blue sheets that we handed out some time ago that were a compilation of different attacks from Satan that you yourselves, people here that were here that particular Sunday morning, wrote down anonymously on some cards. You know, we're going to look this morning at being attacked on the job. You know, being attacked by Satan while we're at work is very relevant because of the time we spend on the job. Also, by the fact that we're more susceptible on the job, we're away from family, we're away from our church family, we're often under stress when we're at work. Again, being attacked on the job is not something new. It was true of the early church. Back in the first century, of course, there was a very, very different work environment. Many years before what we know of here in the United States as the Industrial Revolution. In fact, when the Industrial Revolution arrived in the 1800s, roughly between 1820 and 1870, and the way that people worked in our country changed in many ways, and changed basically from a hand and home production to machine and factory manufacturing, things very much changed in the economic and work environment in the United States of America and in many other parts of the world. So back in the first century, in Paul's day, when he addressed the Thessalonian believers concerning being attacked on the job, they were looking at things from a somewhat different perspective. Some of the jobs were the same then as they are now, but they were approached often in a very different way. A lot of people were farmers. A lot of people dealt with animals. Some fish, some were carpenters, as the Lord Jesus himself was during his time of working here on the earth. Some were servants, some were bankers, some were smiths or soldiers or innkeepers, maybe a merchant or a doctor or a stoneworker. Maybe a tent maker like Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. There were potters and weavers and bakers and artists and philosophers and teachers. Some of those same jobs around the day, but oftentimes today the work environment is very different. Today's economic environment makes the job market and unemployment and downsizing's effect on workers who are retained as well as those who are let go even more impactful than maybe at any other time during most of our lifetimes. I read the cards that many of you turned in anonymously when I asked the question, what is the greatest attack Satan has in your life? And here's what some of them mentioned that were related to being attacked on the job. One card said simply, job. Another said, conflict at work over work issues. Another said, worrying about job situation. Worrying about finding a new job. And another said, you can't do that job. You won't remember what you need to remember. This morning, though we could look at our work and being attacked on the job from many different angles, I want to just look at three of the many ways that Satan attacks on the job. I'm going to try to take what was particularly turned in on these cards and address that more specifically. But I think that as we think about being attacked on the job, we can see that these attacks in many ways overlap with many of the other attacks that we've already seen in this study. And I would encourage you to go back and look at your notes or go to the website and check out some of those messages if you missed them to see if there's some that may particularly deal with an issue that affects you at work. I want to encourage you too. I know there are a number of people here this morning who are retired. And you may look back, you may have some flashbacks, good or bad, this morning. But even if you're retired, you're still working in some sense. It's in a different sense than where you were working, but you're still working. And some of you have jobs that keep you in your home. And that's a job too. And I think there are relevant applications to everyone here, no matter what your job situation is. So first of all, we want to look at attacks through conflict. Someone put on their card, conflicts at work over work issues, disagreements, controversies, opposition, drama. On the job, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to work and we face conflict, we recognize the importance of what God provides in the area of peace. Peace in relationships. Relating on the job. It's so important because in most jobs, in some way, you have to deal with other people. And anytime you deal with other people, whether it's in your home, in your neighborhood, in the local church, in the job, in the community, there are those opportunities for conflict. I want you to look quickly this morning at a verse, Romans chapter 12, if you would turn there. Romans chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one there in the pew. And if you don't get one there, you can look up and we'll have the verse on the screen here. Romans chapter 12. And here, as Paul writes some verses that we've looked at before, particularly in regard to revenge, we find in verse 18 this verse: if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, I want to ask you to take that verse to heart this morning. Whatever your circumstance, wherever you have conflict, in whatever area of your life you find yourself in disagreement, in disharmony, in opposition to someone else, I want you to take this verse to heart. Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, this verse, though very practical advice, is going to be very, very difficult. But from the perspective of the person who has been forgiven of his or her sins, have understood what it is to have peace with God through the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again, who shed his blood that we could be washed clean from our sins. For that person who has received by faith the gift offered by God of eternal life and forgiveness, that person who has had the Holy Spirit come to live within his or her life, we are able to take this verse to heart. And we know that God is not telling us to do something that is not possible to be done by the believer who is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, God understands that there are people in your life who make conflict a very real thing, and sometimes and maybe often on the job. And God knows that there are only certain things you can do. And he says it very clearly here: if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And so that brings us to the workplace. In Galatians 5:22, we read about the fruit of the Spirit of God controlling the life of the believer as we allow him to control our lives. And there we read that the fruit, the outflow of the Spirit of God in our lives, controlling our lives, includes love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And we could go on down the list of nine. But I want you to notice particularly peace and long-suffering. Peace within the life, as we'll look at later in our consideration of this topic. But here, particularly, peace between individuals. Now again, as much as is possible with you, as much as it falls on you, what can you do from your side of the disagreement, from your side of the conflict? What can you do in remaining true to the Word of God, not turning away from the Word of God, but in remaining true to the Word of God, what can you do to make peace? I told you I wanted you to notice two of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, not only peace, but long-suffering. There are two words in the Greek that are most usually translated in our English Bible, either long-suffering or patience. One of those words means to bear up under circumstances. And we find that often through the Scriptures, and you need that at work. But the word used here by the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is the other word, and it's the word that speaks particularly about dealing with people. It's having a long fuse, as it were, with people. Patience. And that calls for the Spirit of God controlling the life of the believer in the workplace. Let me just very quickly mention several of the conflicts that you may run into. We won't be able to go into much detail at all. But sometimes you may have conflicts with your superiors at work. It may be about policies or your boss's expectation or management style. Maybe the way that you feel you're being treated on the job. Maybe favoritism that's being shown toward another employee. It's really our relationship with authority. And we're called as believers in the Lord Jesus to submit to those who are in authority over us. We could look at a number of passages we often find in the New Testament. Servants and slaves being addressed in the context of the Roman Empire and how they're to relate to their masters. And we find much application to us today when we find ourselves in a position of servitude on the job, responsible. And here's what Paul writes to the believers in Ephesus who were in that situation. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. He said, even if you're in the position of servitude, responding to that person who is over you in authority as unto Christ. And as we look at our superiors in our job situation, and we seek to submit to them, if we can see beyond them to the Lord Jesus, our Master. And then there may be conflict with peers, relating to co-workers, disagreements, competition, not being able to get along. We read in Romans 14:19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. Now he's speaking particularly here of believers interacting, but oftentimes the problems we have at work are with unbelievers, though they may be with believers as well. But the principle remains the same. In order to have peace, in order to have harmony with our peers at work, we've got to pursue the things which make for peace. We've got to go after them. We've got to set our mind on those things, that I'm coming to work. And in coming to work, I'm going to seek to relate to my superior as to Christ. And I'm going to pursue, I'm going after peace with those peers, those co-workers. And I'm going to pursue those things through which I can build them up in the faith if they know the Lord Jesus, and toward the faith if they do not. And then there may be conflicts with subordinates. If you are in a position of authority in your workplace, again, we can look at those instructions to those who are masters. We find in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. And when there are conflicts with those who are under your authority, you've got to do what is right. You've got to make the right decision. But in doing so, be careful to do what is just and fair, because we're reminded that even though we may be in a position of authority, we have a master. We have someone over us, probably in a practical way, but even more so, our heavenly master, the Lord Jesus, is holding us accountable to how we treat others. And then there may be conflicts with customers or clients or patients or whatever that may bring into your life. We find in Proverbs 16:11, honest weights and scales are the Lord's. The Lord desires us to be honest. The Lord desires us to treat others with respect and with kindness. Now, we know that oftentimes when you're in the service industry or the sales industry, the saying goes that the customer is always right. But sometimes when there's a conflict, we need to be challenged again. How would the Lord have me respond to this person? Attacks through conflict. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Attacks through conflict. Relating on the job. That's a real issue. And then the second thing we'd like to look at is are attacks through concern. And I use concern as kind of a nice word for worry. Worrying on the job is what we're really talking about. And here we need help with our reasoning on the job. When we're worrying about handling the job, can I do this? Am I capable? Or about keeping the job, will I get fired? Will I get let go? Worrying about getting a job, how am I ever going to find a decent job in this economic climate? We need peace in our hearts, peace in our minds as we perform our jobs in this extra pressure of the environment of our economy today. Attacks through concern. And I want to challenge us, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, when we deal with this area of worry on the job, I want to challenge all of us to reason through these things that cause us to worry in the context of faith in God. You see, the reality is that He will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him because he trusts in Him. There's a promise for you from Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. And as you go to work, and as you're on the job, and as you perform your occupation, you can be sure that God is desiring that you have perfect peace. No matter whether or not you feel you can handle the job, or there's a chance you might lose the job, or you need to get a job, God says, you can trust me. You don't need to worry. You see, on the job, you don't need to worry because you're trusting God. You're trusting His will for you. You're seeking to find peace in Him who will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on Him, when your mind is resting on Him, when your mind is finding a foundation. Not in your own ability, not in the economy, not in the stability of your particular company, but rather when you are trusting in the Lord Himself. Psalm 37:7 tells us to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. And you may feel there are people in your company who are getting ahead by being evil and wicked, and you might feel there's no way for me to ever go where I need to go with this company or even keep my job. And the Lord says, you trust me. You put your trust steadfastly on me. You lock your heart and your mind into me and my character and who I am. You trust me no matter what. You be like Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. I love the way that Habakkuk, by the Spirit of God, expressed what he would do if everything fell apart. What if he went out and worked and it didn't work out? Though the fig tree may not blossom, that's a pretty big deal if you're counting on figs for your well-being. Nor fruit be on the vine, and that's a serious thing if you're raising grapes for your own nourishment and to trade with others. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and olives and olive oil, a very big part of the economy in that day, and the fields yield no food. You go out and you plant the garden and you work as a farmer and you don't see the harvest. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, and you're counting on these animals for your livelihood. And what if all of that falls apart and nothing works out with the job? Here's what Habakkuk says. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk's confidence was not in the economy. Habakkuk's confidence was not in his job. Try to say that 10 times fast. Habakkuk's confidence was in the Lord. You don't need to worry when you're trusting God. You don't need to worry when you're not trusting in yourself. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Many of you know these verses and you hold tightly to them. We've got to apply them on the job. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You want to do your best. There's nothing wrong with being confident in the ability that God has given to you, in your experience over the years. But ultimately, your trust is not in yourself. Take that pressure off of you. Put it on the Lord. Have your mind stayed on Him, fixed on Him. You don't need to worry on the job. When you're praying independence, when you're praying depending on God, trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, the psalmist says in Psalm 62 and verse 8. We should never tire. We should never weary of Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that tell us to be anxious for nothing, even on the job, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord knows your abilities. Psalm 139 tells you that He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what you're going through. That same psalm says that He knew every one of your days before you breathed your first breath. God knows what's going on in your life. God knows what's going on in your workplace. God knows what's going on in your bank book. God knows. And He cares. You can trust in Him. Don't trust in yourself. Lean on Him. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Proverbs 16:3. Proverbs 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Give it to God. He will work it out for you. You can have confidence in Him. You don't need to worry because you're seeking God first. Make sure you're seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. Look over at Matthew chapter 6. You're familiar with these verses. Part of that great sermon that the Lord Jesus preached. We have it recorded as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Come back tonight. Brother Ronnie, you going to be speaking out of that? Yes, sir. We're going to come on tonight and you can hear some more of the Sermon on the Mount. We're just going to read very quickly this morning, chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Apply this to your job, okay? Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Satan will attack you through concern in the job. Satan will come against you, but we have the sure hope of God, and we can lean upon Him. He will attack through conflict. Relating on the job, we want to relate as God enables us by the Holy Spirit, being as much as is possible with us to be at peace with all men. Satan will attack through concern on the job, worrying about the present and the future. But we've got a reason on the job, reasoning according to the context of faith in God. Our mind stayed on Him. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always in every way. What a wonderful prayer that we can pray for one another. And finally, as we close, one other attack that we want to mention this morning. And it's attacks through concealment. And here we have a need to find peace through recognizing on the job. You see, Satan is seeking to conceal from the believer God's purposes in our work. Satan wants you to focus on reasons for work that come from the human perspective only. You see, Satan wants us to think that our jobs are what are there to make us happy, to make us financially prosperous and independent. That our jobs, the purpose of them, are to make us respected and healthy and worry-free and comfortable. And if Satan can get us to focus on those expectations when they're not met, then we'll often experience frustration. And anger, and distraction, and even temptation. But we can find peace. We can find peace that we didn't even know we were missing. You see, because Satan is concealing these things. They're not things that we would think about, but he keeps us covered up. He keeps us blinded like we saw last Sunday. As he seeks to do to the unbeliever, he wants to blind the believer as well. So we need to recognize God's purposes for our jobs. First of all, work provides an avenue of fulfilling God's design for us. As much as we may hate to go to work, God designed us to work. In Genesis 2:15, we see that the Lord God took the man whom He had created out of the dust of the earth, and He put him in the Garden of Eden not to be a couch potato, not to sit around and gaze only at the animals walking by, though he was free to do that. But he was placed into the Garden of Eden, we read, to tend and keep it. He was given a job. He was given work to do. Now, it's true, according to Genesis 3, that when Adam sinned, that work changed. Because then the thorns and briars and thistles began to grow, and by the sweat of his brow, he would earn his living. And by the sweat of your brow. Or maybe It's the sweat of your heart or the sweat of your mind, but there's sweat involved. And work is work. But we read in Proverbs 14:23 that in all labor there is profit, and God has designed us to work, and there's a purpose in that. It's doing and fulfilling God's design. Another purpose that God has for your job is to meet your material needs. 2 Thessalonians, we read there in chapter 3 and verse 12, that those who were being lazy, those who were trying to freeload, he said, that's not what I want them to do. I want you to command and exhort them through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. Now, there are some people who aren't able to work. There are some people who are out of work, and they're not able to get the employment. And as believers in the Lord Jesus, we need to be concerned about them, and we'll see that in just a moment. But we find that we are responsible to go to work, to not to get rich. He said, Paul said to Timothy, be careful. Watch out about trying to get rich. There are dangers in that. But we are to meet the material needs of ourselves and our family. Another purpose for our jobs are to share with those in need. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, Paul says to those who, before they were saved, were stealing, let him who stole steal no longer. Or maybe it was a believer who committed this sin. But he said, rather, instead of stealing, let him labor, working with his hands what is good. And here's the motivation, that he may have something to give him who has need. There are those who are in need. And we need to be working our jobs, not only to meet our own material needs, not only to fulfill God's design for us that we work, but also to share with others who are in need. Also, Satan wants to conceal from us the fact that one of God's purposes for us in our jobs is to provide opportunities to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us to whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. That includes our jobs. First century slaves were told that the way that they responded on the job was a way in which they could adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. In the way that we work, we can go to work and we can bring glory to God as those who know Him personally in the way that we do our jobs. Another purpose that God has for your job that Satan wants to conceal is that it's a lab for the Christian life. A lab for the Christian life. You see, the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther said this concerning the way that we do our work. The maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays, not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. How will I function on the job? Will I live by faith in the workplace? How will I respond to challenges and uncertainties that come to me in my occupation? Will I be obedient to the Word of God? Will I walk by the Spirit of God? C.S. Lewis said much the same thing. His quote is this, "The work of a Beethoven and the work of a charwoman become spiritual on precisely the same condition of being offered to God and being done humbly as to the Lord." This does not, of course, mean that it is for anyone a mere toss-up whether he should sweep rooms or compose symphonies. A mole must dig to the glory of God and a cock must crow. Wherever God puts you, in whatever job He has for you, there to live out the Christian life every moment. Our jobs can also be a crucible in which we can be shaped by the Lord. James says to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. And we're to let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God may be using the difficulties in your job to shape you to be more of what He wants you to be more like His Son, the Lord Jesus. It may be those co-workers. It may be that responsibility at work. It may be the frustrations of that work that God is using. And finally, Satan wants to conceal from you that God has a purpose in your job, in your workplace, as a mission field. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Paul challenges us to aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind our own business, and to work with our own hands, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and you may lack nothing, to meet your physical needs, your material needs, but also to be a testimony, to let our light shine before men that they may glorify God who is in heaven when they see our good works. Attacks through conflict. We've got to relate on the job. God will enable you to relate according to His Word by the Spirit of God. Allow Him to empower you, and you, as much as is possible with you, live peaceably with all in your workplace. And then there's that concern, that worrying. Make sure that you take those worries and you turn them and you place them on that solid foundation of faith in God. He said, if your mind is stayed on me, if you trust in me, I will keep you in perfect peace. And then there's that concealment. There's what Satan is trying to hide from you about the real reason that you're going to work. And we have those reasons in mind, and we recognize what God is trying to do, what a difference it can make in the way that we spend those hours of our lives at work. Let's pray. Father, it's with thanksgiving, Lord, that we come to You concerning our employment, our jobs, our work. Father, we thank You for this country in which we are able to work. Father, we thank You for the many opportunities that You have given through this nation. Father, even in a time of difficult economy, we thank You that most here in this assembly have work. Father, we pray for those who don't have work. We ask that You will provide them jobs. Father, give them the right job. Give them wisdom as they seek You during this time of unemployment. Father, for those who are in jobs that are difficult, Father, they're struggling because of people or because of circumstances in their work, maybe their health. Father, we pray that You will strengthen them as they seek to cast their cares on You, knowing that You care for them, trusting You, Father, every moment of every day. Father, we thank You for those who have jobs that they enjoy. Father, may in those jobs, may they continue to seek You. Father, may in the enjoyment of their work, may they not overlook the purposes that You have for us in going to work and doing our jobs. Father, we thank You for all that You mean to us who know You. We pray for those who do not. Lord, we ask You to convict their hearts deeply of their sin against You. Draw them to Yourself for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your grace. And we pray these things in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you work for His glory.